You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Dana was just texting with a friend of hers. You can't write this stuff, guys. She said, hey, I don't care about Monday Night Football tonight. If you want to go grab something to eat, let's go do that.
Sounds good.
Wait, yeah. You texted her that or she texted you that?
Dana texted that.
Keep in mind.
I don't care about Monday Night Football tonight. Let's go grab dinner.
It's not the Chiefs, so, you know, whatever.
To be fair, she doesn't have to care about Monday Night Football tonight.
Right.
That's correct.
So I was off the air yesterday.
But working. You were working with a client.
For a client. I'm going to post some of those pictures. We had so much fun. We had a commercial shoot down at the Rieger, which anytime you can just hang out at the Rieger all day, I mean, that's not the worst.
And maybe that's why you still think it's Monday.
Way to have a good time. And no, we were sober the whole time because we were working. But I feel like today is Monday. You know, when you just...
Yes.
I did work yesterday, but it didn't feel like I was working in the traditional way that I do with you and Sam and Dan. And so I just thought, you know, it feels like a Monday. Who's playing Monday Night Football tonight? Do you want to see even crazier? I watched Monday Night Football last night.
You're not helping your cause.
It was on in the living room, and I don't remember who was playing.
And there were two games.
Yes, there was a lot of scoring. I remember that.
Well, there was a lot of scoring in one of the games, but not the other one.
Right. Cardinals played the Chargers last night.
That one was the one that had no scoring.
The Ravens. Who do the Ravens have?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's right.
And they put some whooping on them.
I needed a vacation and a weekend from my weekend. And I know you probably, were you sore after cornhole?
No, because I won.
We had so many people come out for that. You guys, we had so much fun. We're working on t-shirts. Everyone's like, I want one of those t-shirts, the KMBZ t-shirt stand.
Yeah.
We're working on it. We have a meeting about that this week. And you know how much I love meetings. But for our listeners, we are going to do it. We're going to figure out a way to get t-shirts out to y'all. So thank you for coming out and raising money for the KC Pet Project. I had never played cornhole with a group of people so passionate about that sport. They came with their own bags. They came with their own shoes.
I brought my own bags.
They came with merch. Yeah, it was a good time.
Sam, are you ready to bring me my trophy? Oh, I believe he might be headed in.
You didn't
now.
Win the whole thing,
no,
did
I
you?
Didn't. No, but I won the Dana and Parks trophy.
Well, he beat us once.
Oh, good.
And
Lord.
I beat you guys twice, so he thinks that means that he is the best cornhole player of all time.
Stands a reason.
I aired my grievances yesterday, so I will go ahead and refrain from doing again today.
Well, no, let's just be clear. Hang on just a second, buddy.
You can talk. I'm going to grab the trophy and bring it in.
Okay, well, come in, turn on mic 7 and come sit down for a second. And let's have this out once and for all.
Do we really have to have it out who won cornhole? I'm pretty sure we all lost.
He is convinced. Well, we ended up. We didn't win the whole thing.
I was going to say.
But we won the Dana. We exited
very early.
Sarah and I, we ended up playing 8 matches.
Who among
Sarah
you
and me.
Won more games against the other one?
I'm out.
Thank you, Samuel. This trophy is for Sarah Parks with an asterisk. He writes on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anyway, thank you to all who came out. And then
that song Glory Days going through your mind?
Yeah, it is.
Never stops.
At some point... This week, men, because I know although you are men, there are women in your life you love. I think I went to one of the most impactful, emotional, incredibly well done fundraisers Saturday night, and I have been to a lot of those things.
How many have you been to?
A lot.
Okay.
Abby Eden was the MC. She's always lovely to see. Mm-hmm. But they did a fundraiser specifically for women's heart health and the women's heart program at St. Luke's. And you know, they do the testimonial, Scott, and they tell the stories of those that you are there to help and the services that have helped save women's lives. Mm-hmm. And those are always emotional, right?
Sure.
And then there's a fund to need and you do the silent auction and then you dance. And that's what happened here, except they told the story of 3 Kansas City area women at completely different ages. One of them, I think, was
this
in her
heart health.
Yes, one of them was in her late 20s. One of them looked to be maybe 30 something, and one of them was maybe 50 something, who all had massive issues crop up in their lives related to heart health. One of the things I did not know is that heart issues and sudden cardio events and all of those things, Dan, kill women at a rate more than all cancers combined. More than all cancers combined. My jaw hit the floor when I heard that, and they repeated that statistic several times. So we're going to try to get a couple of those women in later in the week because I want our listeners to hear their stories. That was just absolutely incredible. Julie Irene Kaufman was there. Kathy Nelson was one of the honorary chairs.
And it you name drop.
It was a who's who of Kansas City because, you know, all women know someone who have had something going on with their heart. I mean, whether it's your mom or your, you know, aunt or, God forbid, a daughter. But even the men in the room, like there was an older gentleman in the room that did a match to all of the funds raised because he lost his wife and wanted to do that in her name. It was so emotional.
My mom had a heart attack at 53.
Does she remember? Was she having symptoms? Was she?
Boy, I don't recall. I mean, that was not, mom, don't get mad, but that was so long ago. I remember my dad was still alive, but it was right around the time that he passed. And I remember meeting them at the hospital and she was complaining of chest pains.
Yep.
And the doctors ran a bunch of tests and then they came out and they said, Maggie, you're in the middle of a heart attack. And
she was like, what?
Yeah. So
anyway, I want to talk about, we'll do it later in the week because I want to be very intentional about it. And by the way, they completed their 1,000th heart transplant at Luke's in 2023. And all of the doctors were there, Scott, all of the surgeons. I mean, it was just a really, really sweet evening. Very lovely.
Somebody wants to know on the text line, did Barb from Odessa make it to Cornhole? And I stayed for almost the entire thing. Sam, I believe, stayed for the entire thing.
I did. And, I closed it down.
And I never saw Barb.
I did not.
We will check in with Sweet Barb. I'm sure she's fine. I think maybe she had some transportation issues. We will end up meeting Barb from Odessa because a lot of our longtime listeners that have their own group chat, by the way, I didn't know that. There's a group of core listeners that have their own group chat, Scott.
Oh, wow. I'm well aware.
Yes, they were all there, Dan. We've got a group chat. I was like, wait, what? You have a KMZ group chat?
Yeah,
Mike and Topeka's in there.
Ashley's in there.
Jacob from Platte City.
I cracked up. I think that is awesome.
There's also a Facebook page that they are all a part of that you guys are welcome to be a part of as well.
Oh, my
gosh.
There is?
There is. The Dana and Parks fan page.
Really?
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it.
So towards the end, I closed the place down. Towards the end, a listener walked up to me and was like, hey, are you Sam? And you know, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, how are you doing? He handed me a gift bag and said, I got you this shirt for your birthday 2.5 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. He held onto this shirt for 2.5 years and I was just overjoyed with him walking up and handing it to me. It was green with yellow lettering. It had a school bus on it. And do you guys remember talking about the story? It was a school bus driver who had it with the children. And so he said to one of the kids who was acting up, if you don't stop, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your butt that it's going to dangle out your nose. So that print is texted on the front of the shirt with the school bus.
Wow. There is a Dana and Parks fan page. It has 11,000 followers.
Fan page. It's been around for a long time. But I think you're talking about a different type of group.
Well, there's a group within the group, if you will, Dan.
Yeah.
How lovely. That's very nice.
It's a group within the group.
Okay. Juju Smith is out for this weekend.
I saw that.
Of course, Jalen Watson's out.
So this weekend is a Sunday game, and then the November game is the Monday night football game. Yes. Just say yes.
I'm just worried about who's playing Monday night football tonight.
I know. It's so hard to keep track of, people.
Yes, we will get to that. Here is the headline from Channel 9. We'll get to the story when we get back. Kansas City funeral home searches for family after body left at morgue for months.
One funeral home owner says they have never seen anything like this. It isn't that the family can't be found. They have reached out to the family. And it is radio silence for those related to this 83-year-old man who I think lived most of his entire life in Kansas City. They can't even get the family to return their calls.
Aish.
What?
Aish. By the way, Sam has just told me off air he would like to put a motion on the floor. It has been 4 weeks for Terrible Joke Tuesday.
You mean Terrible Joke Monday?
No. Terrible Joke Friday. What day is this?
Sunday.
So terrible joke. Sunday.
I need a personal assistant.
Okay.
I would like to second the motion.
How much do you pay?
No.
It's volunteer work.
All of a sudden, my schedule filled up.
913-586-7798. Terrible joke Tuesday, coming your way at 3:45 this afternoon. Black Star Riders. Story here from Channel 9. We're getting answers after a man's body was left behind for months at a Kansas City funeral home. Hardy's Eternal Rest Funeral Home is going on month number 4 of silence from the family of 83-year-old Charles Freeman. Quoting here from the owner, Michael Hardy, over at Hardy's Eternal Rest Funeral Home. After 35 years in the funeral industry, I have never had this happen. So it's kind of like a shock. Freeman's body has been lying at the funeral home since July. Quote from Hardy again. This is just me going on too long, and I think Mr. Freeman deserves better than that. Hardy said Freeman's son originally called the funeral home to pick up his father's body from a hospital. He hasn't heard from him or any family members since. Quoting here again from Hardy. Even if you would just call me and say, Mr. Hardy, listen, here's all the information you need. Let me give you $5, $6, $8 or something. But just abandon your father, that is unacceptable. Hardy is pleading with anyone in the family to give them a call and help Charles Freeman reach his final resting place. Now, we don't know why Charles Freeman has been left at the funeral home for the last 4 months. But Dana had a really interesting question during the commercial break. Is it illegal to abandon, which I think it's fair to say is happening with Charles Freeman, a family member?
A dead
family member.
In a weird way, like abandonment of a corpse?
But it's not.
But it's not quite that, Sam. Because let me ask you this. What if the family doesn't have the means to pay for what it would take to get to, for the transport or cremation? You know,
right.
Those cases happen. What's interesting about this case and unusual about this case is usually when someone, after they have passed, ends up at the morgue, unclaimed, it's because they cannot figure out or contact next of kin.
Like they don't know who that person is, or if they do, how do we find their family?
Or there are no survivors, no known survivors. Yeah. Maybe the person was unhoused. Like we've seen those cases before, and I think there might be a fund somewhere within the budget of the city to help out in rare cases like that. This is different. They know where the family is. Family's not going to, or will not up to this point, call and help out. They can't even get a death certificate or cause of death, you said, because they need like his social security number and some paperwork to get the ball rolling on that.
All of these questions sound horribly insensitive, so I don't know how to ask them without sounding horribly insensitive.
I know what you're gonna say.
Is there some sort of weird statute of limitations where after a certain number of months of nobody claiming them, you then decide what to do with the body? Because at this point, you're just...
They call those paupers'
space.
Graves. There were paupers' graves.
That's true.
For that reason.
Like what? To your point, what do we do with the unhoused?
Wait a minute. Yeah, we don't know that he was unhoused.
I'm not saying he was unhoused, but I'm sure that the unhoused go unclaimed for months. What do we do with those people?
Well, there should be, and I don't know if there is, there should be a statute of limitations where the funeral home after X number of months, and they have to try to reach family members. And if they cannot, and nobody's coming forward to claim this body, they have the right to either bury it or cremate it.
But do you have any idea the red tape and the regulatory nightmare that is ... body disposal? I don't know what the ordinances say about you can't just unilaterally decide as a funeral home, we're going to give it 4 months and then stick Mr. So-and-so in the ground.
That's what I'm saying. There needs to be a law.
That entire industry is so regulated.
I don't dispute that. What I'm saying is there needs to be a law for cases like Charles Freeman.
To protect the funeral homes. Correct. Or at least help out the funeral homes.
I mean, what are they supposed to do? Just hang on? No offense to Mr. Freeman. I never met him. But what are they supposed to do? Hang on to him?
In perpetuity?
Infinitum? And as long as the funeral home is open, what happens if they go out of business? You know, I mean, it's silly. And apparently his son, now help me with this sentence. He said his son, Mr. Freeman's son, originally called the funeral home to pick his father's body up from a hospital.
Okay.
But he never heard from the son or any other family members since. So it's not as if the family doesn't know that Mr. Freeman has gone on to the next
life. Is it, and here's another question for our listeners. Is it the hospital after someone passes in a hospital, if there's no family, does the hospital have a contract with a funeral home to come pick up the body? That's what this sounds like happened. Because after death, you can't stay in the hospital morgue forever either.
No, I mean, when my father passed years ago, 26 years ago, he died at KU Med, despite their heroic efforts to save him. We did not drive my dad's body back to Leavenworth to the funeral home where we held the services.
Yeah.
So somebody from the funeral home, presumably, I mean, we were all in a state of shock anyway. Somebody from the funeral home presumably went and picked up my father at KU Med. And then drove him back.
But is that at your request, or is that just what happens? I don't know.
I don't recall anybody. I mean, we were in total shock.
And the reason we ask, and not to be insensitive, was the family involved in the transport from the hospital to the funeral home?
Yeah.
And then once that process happened, then they stopped?
Well, see, the story from Channel 9 says the son called the funeral home to pick his father's body up from a hospital. So they at least got stage one taken care of. Hey, we need you to go get our dad. But once they got him from the hospital back to wherever this funeral home is, I don't see the city on it, but I know it's local. The funeral home is in Kansas City. Okay. The owner says, give us a call. Come in. Just do something. No kidding. Kevin in Grain Valley. Kevin, good afternoon. Hello.
This is my day to call in. This is my second call today. All right, here you go. This insensitive? Very much so. Here we go. My brother dies in the hospital. He's kind of homeless in between, whatever. Doing okay, getting Social Security, whatever. My sister signed the documents because he was younger. He died from a fall, and they had to do an autopsy on him. She signs the paperwork, and my sister, full intentions, just leave him with the morgue because they take care of it after that. You have no financial responsibility. You don't have to do anything at all. And I haven't talked to her, and that's been 7 years. My wife and other family, we got together. I had to do everything I could because she signed him in. I had to do everything I could. I got him out. We took care of the all of that. But no responsibility on any family member. You don't have to do anything. Just leave him there and throw him in the
pot. Wow. Kevin, you didn't need a notary or a lawyer to take control of that from your sister?
I know.
Yeah.
I think that I just made such a strong case. Plus, you got to remember, the county says, shit, if this guy was...
Well, oh. There you go.
It's been a while since we've heard that word. It's one of my favorite words. As a verb, or direct object, or sometimes a subject.
One of these days, I'll learn that I only have to press that button 3 times. Or once, not 75.
Sam, by the way, my dump button lights up in here when you push it as well.
Was it flashing like crazy?
It was like a kid was playing Defender at the arcade.
You know, I like to be safe.
I pressed cough instead of dump, just so we're clear, and I didn't cough.
913.
But if I needed to, you both would have been covered.
Kevin, you cannot say that word on the radio. Come on, man. We have cat-like reflexes. It's not going over the air. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Kevin, my brother, you are not getting back on the air.
Yeah, you don't get a twofer.
You don't get to drop an S-bomb on an over-the-air radio show and then say, can I get a second chance? No.
The gumption, however, that
commendable
takes to call back in and see if we will place you back on the air
after you drop an S-bomb.
A near FCC violation. I don't know whether to be horrified or proud of you.
And it was
Kevin.
So smooth. He just released it like it was
just gonna throw it out there.
Supposed to be there, you know, as part of the sentence.
Let it waft a little bit over our city.
Gotta waft it.
Oh, it's wafting.
It's waft.
I know.
Waft. Kevin, you get an A for effort.
And a T for timeout.
Mm-hmm. 5 days.
Still hanging on the line.
Yeah, he won't hang up. Kevin, I know you can hear us through the phone, but you're not getting back on the air, brother. You made a big boo-boo. Anyway, all right. Moving on. Did you hear about the woman? Man, phones apparently mean something to people. A woman who tried to retrieve her lost phone from between boulders in Australia's Hunter Valley became stuck upside down.
Oh, God.
For 7 hours.
I thought that would kill you. In the movies, that kills
you. Before she was rescued earlier this month.
We are not only dumb.
Have you seen the video?
How long?
Or not the video, the picture?
We're dumb.
Upside down.
They had to remove a separate boulder to get to her safely.
Mm-hmm.
She was lodged between two massive boulders, of course. And there was a third one that they had to remove.
All you could see were her feet.
Yeah.
The soles of her feet. Look, here's a picture of it right there.
Okay.
Look, there's her feet.
Wow. Okay, so that looks like the movie 127 Hours, if there had been someone with a camera there to capture him as he lay bleeding and dying 127 hours.
Yeah, a camera other than his own.
Teeny tiny little crack there. For her cell phone?
Mm-hmm. She dropped her cell phone between that crack.
She's like, I'm going to go down and get them.
And that's exactly what she said.
I wouldn't even reach into the toilet.
I was just going to say, how many of you, what percentage, Sam, look it up. What percentage of people have gone into a porta potty or a toilet? Which one?
They're basically the same
thing.
No,
they are not.
Would you reach into your own toilet if you had just used it for your phone?
I would.
One or two?
Probably
59% of people say that they would reach into a toilet to retrieve
their...
If it's my home toilet, I somehow feel like I could stomach the thought of doing that. If it's a public toilet, less so. And porta potty is out of the question.
Now, time would be of the essence. Would you just reach in with your bare hand?
Yes.
Or would you go downstairs and get some gloves?
There's no time. I would reach in and then just sanitize all day long.
If it were number one, I would probably reach in and grab it if it were my home toilet.
Home toilet.
So I'm going to get a new phone. It's not worth it.
Flush it down.
Now, if it's a porta potty.
No.
What phone? Did I have a phone? Well, I don't have a phone.
Have you ever looked into.
Oh, stop it. I can't even talk about it. I can't talk about it. I can't think about it. I'll vomit. I really will get sick.
As a man, I have to because it's.
I really will.
I stand and look at it.
Get sick if we. I will. Okay. If I am in dire straits. And that is the only option available, I will continue to be in dire straits.
See, that's the problem for you women, though.
It makes me gag.
So, like, you've seen in the porta potties, the newer ones,
yeah.
There's a stand-up urinal for men.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the regular toilet. I have never in my 53 years on this planet sat down on a toilet in a porta potty. You couldn't pay me enough money.
Oh, neither have I, and I never will.
No.
Just the dark gray plastic, like everything about it makes me gag. And I'll tell you this, the last time this actually came up in my life was in Sedona at one of the most beautiful places I have ever been on earth, and that is a church built into the rock face by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh, wow.
It is the most stunning, spiritual, calming, peaceful, emotional space. And we're up there and on the way down, because you go up and it's, you know, very quiet, very respectful. You know, we stayed up there a couple of hours just in awe of the beauty. Well, by the time you come back down the mountain, nature's calling. And it was to the point where I did not think
I was going to
make it. And there that porta potty was like a shining beacon of hope at the end of that trail. And I took a hard pass. I can't do it. I cannot bring myself to go inside one of those things.
I was camping in the middle of the woods in Michigan, and there was a porta potty like 2 miles away.
You keep saying porta potty. Could we break that down for
porta
a moment?
Porta potty. There was a porta potty a couple of miles away. I knew it was there.
This pronunciation of porta potty.
And I chose to lean against a tree in the middle of the woods.
As a man should, so, Sam.
To do my number
as
two
a man
business.
Should.
Exactly I was not
right.
going to that porta
That's
potty.
Exactly right.
Porta.
Porta.
Potty.
P-O-R-T-A. So my neighborhood last weekend had their annual barbecue contest.
Oh.
And it's real nice. It's over by, it's in the parking lot by the community pool.
Okay.
And for years, I've been a judge. For whatever reason, I wasn't invited to be a judge this year. Mm-hmm. Not sure why. But you always know when the neighborhood barbecue contest is coming because they put porta potties in the parking lot at the pool.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, two things. Number one, A, the barbecue contest is in your neighborhood. Why, if you had to go that bad, why wouldn't you just, I don't know, go home and come right back?
It's a long waddle.
And it's right next to the pool, which has bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just open up the pool bathrooms for everybody to use?
Likely city regulations about gatherings of certain numbers of people have to have certain numbers of squat.
By the way, the study that said that 59% of people would reach into a toilet came from 2012. I bet you that number is much higher today. Also from the text line, did she get her phone? Gosh, I hope so.
That's a really
I bet
question.
You the answer's no. I bet you the answer is no.
Hang on. That's a really good question.
Could you imagine her just sitting there upside down scrolling through TikTok for 7 hours?
By the way, six boulders had to be removed.
Six?
Six.
Oh, I only thought it was one.
Before they could get close enough to her.
If you could access the phone, would you Google how long can I hang upside down before death occurs? And I bring this up for a good reason. When you Google that, because I just did, you get a wide range of answers. One of the answers was for some people 5 to 10 minutes. For others, maybe a couple hours.
I talk about burying the lead. It is the last sentence in this 3-page story. The woman was taken to the hospital for observation. Her phone, however, remains trapped between the rocks.
Hope it was worth it, lady.
They were concerned she had gone silent for a while.
Mm-hmm. The phone or the woman?
The woman.
Yes, both.
Can you hear me now?
They said
call it again.
They were concerned about her being upside down for so long and possibly suffering from the effects of excess pressure on her limbs. It took a few hours before enough rock was removed for rescuers to gain access to one foot and then the other. The last remaining boulder, which weighed 1,100 pounds, was the most difficult to shift.
I mean, she's lucky that she made it out alive. Because one slip of one of those straps, it's a whole different story.
Right. While I was gone, whoever was here in my stead, I'm not sure.
It was Commander Jesse Reed.
Love Jesse, Commander. Did you happen to talk about the collapse of the Georgia...
No.
Oh, the dock. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that.
We did
in the
not
three,
talk about the
We are
dock.
Going to have to talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour.
Okay.
I'm sort of obsessed, like I'm obsessed with like Jaws, like things I can't stop thinking about in my head on a loop that are probably not, you know, super safe for me to have on my head in a loop.
Okay.
It was a gangway that was holding multiple people on the way to a ferry.
Emphasis on was.
And the gangway
gave
the
way.
Gangway gave way.
Yeah, got it.
It is, oh my God. Gosh, remember the bridge collapse that was due to bird excrement? It was the buildup of bird excrement on the underside of the bridge that over many decades started wearing down the structure, the joists, everything that you put under a bridge to hold the bridge up. That's what they came back in the final report to say was the cause of that massive collapse. I don't remember if it was one in Minnesota, but it was one of the big ones.
Wouldn't weather kind of help with that problem?
It was the I-35 bridge over the Mississippi River in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It was the Minneapolis one. Yep. And now...
And it was bird excrement that brought it down?
The
over
dung
time.
Of a pigeon.
It was pigeon dung.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
I say a pigeon, hundreds of pigeons.
And we were talking about this over the weekend because, you know, well, I was under a bridge for several hours yesterday next to the Rieger. And you look at all of our bridges and all of the infrastructure around Kansas City and other towns,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
We don't have the inspectors probably necessary to do all of the things all of the time that need to be done, which is why we will get an alert from time to time from KDOT or MoDOT saying emergency closure for repairs after, you know, crack found. Well, think of all the thousands of cars or people that went over that bridge the day before.
Yeah.
Before we get the alert that there's an emergency, right?
I hear you. I just find it hard to believe that birds going number two could bring down a bridge.
That is what happened.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Of Americans decorate for Halloween. I apparently am in the 18%.
You don't decorate at all?
I have three pumpkins on my front porch.
Well, you're in the 82.
That's really a Halloween decoration? They're not carved. They're just pumpkins. Would you care to guess which state has the most Halloween decorations?
I don't know. Oh, Salem, Oregon.
New.
No. Oh.
And I did not know this
they
is what you
call... They don't lean into that history?
No, and I did not know that this is what you call people from this state, but Utahns.
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 So Utah with an N.
Better Utahns. Than Utahites.
Utahns. Utahites.
Very Utanians? Good.
Right behind Utah. New Hampshire is third. Vermont. Check that. New Hampshire is second. Vermont is third.
Just an FYI, that's Salem, Massachusetts.
Right. Versus
did she say Oregon?
Yeah.
Oregon.
Just wanted to clarify.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. You ran all the way in here just to, for that clarification.
Wait, can we just back up a moment? There are two Salems, right?
Yeah. The Salem witch trials were in Massachusetts.
New England.
Correct.
What happened in Salem, Oregon?
Not much.
Some rain.
26 states have a Salem.
The Oregonians did not burn witches at the stake.
No, they didn't.
Massachusetts apparently had
in the 1600s.
The market cornered on that activity.
In the 1600s, when I believe the Salem witch trials were going on, Oregon had not yet been discovered.
1692.
Right.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Right. Well, even that's not true.
Thank you.
So if it's not either one of these Salems, who else is on the list?
The Utahns.
After Utahns. Are we on the list? Are we anywhere near it?
I don't have all 50 states.
New Orleans is up there, isn't it?
Oh, it would have to be with their voodoo French history, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
I might go see Smile 2 tonight.
Oh, really?
I know. You go see it Friday night?
We had a lot going on over the weekend. I could not fit it in this weekend. Plus, it was too nice. You know, it's like so nice out, you don't want to like be inside for 2.5 hours or something.
They didn't rank all 50 states, but Kansas and Missouri were... Missouri is a burnt orange, which is the middle of the pack.
Okay.
And Kansas is a brighter orange, which is further on the more people decorate side of things.
Okay.
Nobody in Hawaii decorates, apparently, and New York State doesn't decorate either.
I'm starting to think that it's an enormous percentage of like the Lowe's Home Depot revenue per year, because you walk into any home improvement store now, and it is... They did not used to sell Halloween things.
By the way, the number one decor in Kansas, who came in 16th, they did rank them all, is a ghost. In Missouri, it's a jack-o'-lantern.
I can attest to the ghosts. They're a lot. And they're just sheets hanging from trees.
Right.
Did you want them to be real ghosts?
No, but I just, no. Halloween, and I know this is sacrilege for some people, is just not my thing. And I'll sit out front and hand out candy, but I just can't get excited about it.
Me neither. Not my thing. That's okay. I'm going to go see Smile.
So you're going to go see Smile tonight.
I'll let you know tomorrow how it goes.
Okay.
Stop it.
What?
You are not allowed to sit there and smile that awful smile at me when you will not even watch.
I'm afraid. All right, you want to know the truth?
Movie.
You want to know the truth?
Yes.
I'm afraid.
I believe you.
Okay.
I believe that you are afraid because you scroll by it all the time on Netflix or whatever.
I do.
And you will not watch it.
I will not.
It is that scary, sometimes graphic, but mostly just incredibly disturbing. But I think it's one of the most well-done thriller. I don't know that I would call it a horror. Sam, stop it. You haven't seen it either.
That's true.
I'm going to sit you both down in a room and lock the door and make you watch it.
Well, gee, because I can't close my eyes.
Yeah, it's a kidnapped theater experience.
What, are you going to tape my eyes open?
Yes.
I was told that if you were not in a good headspace, you should not go watch it. And when it came out, I was in the epitome of not a good headspace.
Yeah, well, you are in a better headspace now. You're in a great headspace now.
I'm killing it.
Want to come with us and watch it tonight?
No.
No.
When I saw the preview of that girl standing outside the car window.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's not standing outside the car window.
Yeah.
I decided then and there I will never watch this movie.
Well, she was still standing there, but her head was at a very...
Correct.
Interesting angle that does not exist in nature.
But I have scored anatomy? By the first one many times.
Or in the history of anatomy. Yes. I'll let you know tomorrow how it goes.
All right. News
with history of Salem, Oregon.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way right after a quick break. 2 minutes. We'll have the news. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.